Welcome to BizArt, a podcast of the odd, the art and the rest. Any questions or comments, email bizartcast@gmail.com. That's BIZARTCAST @gmail.com. Right, I'm Madeleine Swan. I write weird and strange stories. And this is Stephen Waring.
Hello.
And you can find his weird brain at lofiguy.com. LOFIguy.com.
Hello, and we've got a bit of a change this time round because Steve's been swapped by the fairies and replaced with artist Bill Pennell. You can find his work at billpennell.com. That's Pennell with two L's.
Hello.
Hello. And we're going to begin with him. It's Billy's Art Jollies. It's Billy's Art Jollies. Boo, 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 boo. Okay, what information are you going to seep into our brains like a disturbing sponge?
How do I get my ideas?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I go to work, and on the way in the car, things will just pop in my head. I will get a vision.
Yes.
Basically, and then I'll create it.
So, what's the best bit of advice that anyone's given you?
Best bit of advice that anyone's given me? Probably to look at as much art as possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the best bit of advice I've been given.
What's your favourite medium to work in?
My favourite medium is paint. Acrylic and oil, I'd say, and ink. So, I've got three favourite mediums. Acrylic and oil together, working first in acrylic and then over the top in oil, and ink. So obviously not together, the ink separately, ink and wash, and then acrylic and oil.
Why are they your favourites?
Ink, because it's cheap and it's immediate. And acrylic and oil, because acrylic is quick, and oil over the top, because you can do more sort of intricate stuff with it as a sort of last finishing touches.
How do you explain what you do?
How to explain what I do? I have different kind of themes of art, of creating art. I will do my black ink line stuff, which is kind of drawing on paper using ink and wash.
But what are they, what kind of pictures do you do there?
Oh, with them, they're kind of childlike, I'd say they're kind of childlike but dark, sort of dark child. They've got like a sinister twist, sort of edge to them, but not obviously sinister. They're kind of just a bit sort of haunting. With the ink. But then I also have my painting work, which is also very varied. I always find it difficult to develop a style, although people have told me that they can sort of see that it's one of my paintings, even though I think they're all over the place. The style's always all over the place.
Do you think that's an important thing, keeping the same kind of style?
No, because I don't know. It's difficult because you look in books and stuff, and you see that certain artists have a style that seems to continue through sort of large areas of their life. And so I've always thought maybe I should develop a style, which is kind of why I started doing the black ink line drawings, because I was trying to develop a style, but then I'm always flitting between. So I don't think it's important. I think you should just create art and if you fancy doing something different, you should be able to do something different.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and this time around, I was going to look at doing cover letters. If you send a book off to an agent or a publisher, increasingly, actually, people are sending stuff straight to publishers, especially if it's small press. You'll need to have a good cover letter. And next time I'll be looking at synopses, which you send along with the cover letter. And here is what I found. Don't use any gimmicks, just keep it simple. Use a font like Times New Roman. Address the agent or publisher by name and never use sir or madam, because their ego will be mortally wounded and they'll probably set fire to everything that you send them. Say that you're enclosing a novel, picture book, whatever it's called, you know, and called X, so the name of it, which is a thriller, comedy, horror, etc. Just sort of lay out, you know, very simply. It's possible to mention other writers that you think could be similar, but it's very important not to sound arrogant, which might easily happen there. You know, for example, it's probably not a good idea to say, I've been told I'm a young Dostoevsky, you better. Perhaps if you have to, just say who inspires you and mention the genre that they're in if it's the same as yours. But you could just leave that out completely and let them decide. Mention anything interesting about yourself. Very important are previous writing credits or competition wins or anything like that. Anything possibly relevant. Perhaps mention why you've approached this particular company, publisher or agent. You know, is it because of an author that they've got on their books that you're fond of? Or and also, before you send it, make sure you read their submission guidelines. That's very, very important. Research and look on individual publishers and agents and find out what they want you to send. And with a children's book, sometimes you can send a short synopsis with the cover letter, but otherwise it needs to go separately. So that's for next time. Creative curiosities.
Creative curiosities.
Okay, today I looked at food-related art. I tried to find out some weird food-related art for your little ears. And succeeded in making myself hungry, which then made me eat lots of donuts, which probably wasn't a very good idea. Oh, which reminds me, next episode we'll be looking at the very odd erotic novels of Chuck Tingle. I myself have just finished reading Glazed by the Gay Living Donuts, and we've got another guest on next time, and we're going to be discussing those haunting classics which we've both read. So things that I've found are cheese curls of Instagram, which is quite funny, the description, because basically it's someone who was eating cheese curls and then noticed that some of them were shaped like people and then proceeded to make Instagram posts of them. And the descriptions are very overwrought, and that's what makes it funny. So have a look, cheese curls of Instagram. Millie Brown, that's Millie with an IE, drinks coloured milk and regurgitates it onto white canvas.
Oh.
It looks like she's just sort of dribbled paint everywhere, but it's actually sick. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm sure you'll enjoy that.
Nice.
Yes. And some other very interesting food type people include Christine McConnell, who makes monstrous alien cakes. So go to christinehmcconnell.com, they're quite good. Evil Cakehead organises horror-related food events, such as the Human Meat Market, which you can see a video of that on YouTube. It's quite disturbing and good. And I actually interviewed her once as well, so have a look at my website, madeleineswan.com, and go to the article section, and you'll find an interview with her there. Annabelle Lecter makes all kinds of disturbing treats, including a cake of a scene from Hannibal where a hand is poking up from a mushroom patch. To have a look at her stuff, visit conjurerskitchen.com. And Scott Hove makes entire installations of monstrous cakes. You can find him at mshove.com. And finally, this is for you, Bill.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a quick mention. I'm just sort of throwing it your way. You don't have to do anything with this. But just to let you know that you can get something called an egg-o-matic skull egg mould, which turns your boiled egg into a skull.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, just for future birthdays, anything like that.
Oh, okay, I see.
Letting you know.
Okay, okay. Consider it...
possible.
Consider it done.
Oh, thank you very much. He treats me like a princess. Right, and next is Freaky Film Club. Freaky Film Club, they are freaky.
Freaky. In your
face. we watched a film the other night called Wrong. It's by the director of a film called Rubber. I don't know if you've seen Rubber, but basically you follow a tire around and there's people watching it from a hill and they kind of project their own story onto what's going on, and it's sort of, I don't know, it seems to be making some sort of comment on people watching films and audiences and things like that.
Yeah.
But what did you make of Wrong, Billy?
Wrong, I loved Wrong. I watched Rubber, not knowing anything about it, and I quite liked it.
Yeah.
And I saw Wrong, not knowing it was by the person who made Rubber, and I thought it was one of the best films I've seen in a long time. I loved it. It was very funny. It was quite surreal at the same time, but very funny. The acting was really good. Bits of it kind of reminded me. It wasn't so weird that you had to work really hard at watching it. It was very entertaining.
Yeah, and you could just sort of sit back and think, okay, that's happening.
And watch it, and everything was laid on a plate for you. But it was very funny and very good and engaging. And bits of it kind of reminded me a little bit of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Well, some guy going around interacting with people
who were really weird and confusing him. You know, and that's like at the beginning when he's sort of talking to his neighbour.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, you know, bits of like that.
Basically, I think it's a French director, but it's an American, you know, it's the American actors and so on. But this man wakes up and his dog's been kidnapped. He doesn't know where his dog has gone.
Yeah.
And sort of throughout the film he finds that he's been kidnapped by a company, and I won't tell you anymore because you'll just have to watch it.
Yeah.
But it seems to be sort of, there seems to be a lot of underlying stuff.
It's very imaginative, isn't it? I
liked the bit. I thought it caught the mood of what being in an office is like. Basically, whenever he goes into work, it's just pouring with rain inside the actual room where everyone's sat, sort of switching the computer on and sitting down to do anything. They're soaked. It's just continual downpour.
Yeah.
And that is essentially what being at work is like. Yeah. So.
It was absurd, that's the word.
Yeah, absurd.
It was completely absurd, yeah.
Yes.
Which I think is kind of like the title, Wrong.
Yeah, everything's a bit wrong.
Yeah, everything's a bit wrong.
Like the clock always goes to 60 instead of a clock.
Yeah.
Everything's a bit off.
Yeah, very good. I loved it.
Well, that's that then. This story is by Ian Willingham, and you can find him on Twitter at Ciencco, that's Ciencco. Okay, and this story is called Liar. John Baker was a terrible liar. From the school truancies of adolescence, which he carefully masked from his parents, referring to them proudly as field trips, to the modern-day misdemeanours of a 30-something underqualified taxman, sexual conquests in high-rise office blocks disguised as financial meetings. It was a Tuesday when he received a call from Forbes magazine. For weeks now, he'd had them under investigation for potential large-scale tax avoidance. Could he come over? Asked Jenny Watts, head of operations. Her boss needed to have a quick word. On the 22nd floor of Forbes HQ, he was greeted by the head honcho, Peter Bazemore, with an uncharacteristically firm handshake. You brought me here because... The question hung in the air. Finally, Bazemore responded, because I don't want to see you get hurt. John gasped as from seemingly nowhere he was surrounded by what could only be described as the world's most elite and powerful. On one side he could see Richard Branson wiping flecks of caviar from his bottom lip. On the other, Gwyneth Paltrow cradling a shotgun. We like things the way they are. No taxes means happier rich people, which means more money to throw at the poor and needy, came the voice of Morgan Freeman. I want you to use your greatest asset, John, your inability to tell the truth. Stop the investigation and your life will be spared, said Bazemore. But how, John replied, make something up. It was the following Tuesday. The copy of Forbes magazine landed on his doormat like a metaphorical slap in the face. On the front cover, John was pictured in a hospital bed, both his arms in casts, surrounded by Branson, Freeman and Paltrow, everyone smiling. The headline read, Wealth, the Greatest Cure.
You have been listening to Bizarre, a podcast of the odd, and the rest. Any questions or comments, email bizarrecast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.